Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen, victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 119, A Salute to Law and Order.
Topic number one.
I can't wait for all these illegal immigrants to start reproducing. Forgot about that, didn't ya? It's not just tens of millions of illegal immigrants rushing the border. Eventually, people are gonna start hooking up. Nice going, amateur government. Yeah, I know what I said. Fine, accuse me of racism. Hear me out. Do you really think a child born of illegal immigrants, possibly with criminal parents involved in the drug or sex slave trade, has a bright future just because he or she will now be born in America? And now that child will grow old here, behind the eight ball, always playing catch up, never getting a good base of education, nutrition, work, and career. They're simply doomed to live a life of survival mode. I think amateurs feel, because when do they actually think, that once in America, all immigrants' problems are solved. As soon as they cross the border, it's like a switch goes off. They got new job, healthcare, shelter, opportunity. We love calling America the land of opportunity, and it is, when you do it the right way, with a plan and focus, preparation, work ethic, patience, and you're operating from a place of calm and resolve, not in a place of panic in a mass of people with a population the size of New York, now you're just competing against other strugglers with the same sad story. And what of the opportunities that law-abiding, tax-paying Americans? Oh, you mean the small business owner who owned his or her family restaurant after 50-plus years and got shut down because of faked and inflated COVID numbers? Oh, those are real stats? Yeah, you're already done if you think that's the truth. If you believe that, there's no hope for you. Oh, your uncle died of COVID? Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am, but it changes nothing. If America will sell out its own people to push its social and political agenda and literally bankrupt people to the point of suicide with no conscience, if politicians will scream, "Wear your mask!" and then be photographed at a small group in a private upscale restaurant laughing, I'm looking at you, Gavin Newsom, do you think they'll give a fuck about non-Americans? Long-term? Oh, sure, they'll smile and give them a free smack on the ass as they scuttle in, but then they're just gone. And to be clear, lest the amateurs gasp in judgment of everything I've said thus far, this literally has zero to do with the race of the immigrants. It is simply morally wrong on all levels. Our government is exploiting an impoverished people, who will, of course, get screwed over by the very system that let them come in, not to mention the fantastic financial burden that will continue into perpetuity due to the drain on our already depleted resources, such as, time, money, jobs, and safety, all things that have not exactly been at a premium these last 18 months. No matter what race of people were ambushing the border, when it's tens of millions, it is morally wrong not to protect our borders and our American lives and futures. It is a slap in the face to every American, regardless of beliefs or political leanings. They're not vacationing here, they're staying here. I'm sure there are tons of good people in that group, but it doesn't change the fact that our country cannot financially sustain giving handouts to people who have not earned it, while our own country has had its ass kicked for the better part of a year and a half for literally no good reason. Notice I use the word literally a lot? I really try to use literally when it applies, and it applies often. Here's an example. Have you ever thrown a really big party? And by that I'll say 100 people. Okay, maybe you've thrown one for even more people, but I'll say 100's a good size group of people for a party. Chances are, you probably don't know everyone at that party. Friends are going to bring people who are satellite friends, and those satellite friends are going to bring people who are complete strangers to your house. Maybe they're chill and fun. Maybe they're bringing drugs, weapons, disease, and criminal activity. Maybe they steal something from your house. Maybe they break something. Maybe they just case the joint and come back later when you least expect it. Maybe they physically hurt you or your family or your other guests. But only a racist would hear, "He's saying all these people from Mexico or Central America are disease-ridden criminals." You're not listening, amateurs. I'm saying, when you have how many tens of millions of people crossing the border? Sorry, ambushing the border at once. Not over a period of years, trickling in a little at a time so we can do background checks on health and skills and criminal records. It's an uncontrollable situation. All it takes is one or two criminal partners to start up a drug running or sex slave trafficking operation that trickles down to more and more amateur people already in America. Drugs and sex trafficking mean crime. Crime costs money to fight. Crime costs law-abiding citizens' lives and their tax-paying money. A drug-running gangbanger, especially one not from this country, has nothing to lose and will think nothing of running over an innocent civilian when trying to flee the cops lest being arrested and or deported. That's one of millions of scenarios. Do I really have to qualify this point of view with, "I'm sure there are some good, hard-working people crossing the border"? So we let in tens of millions even if 50% are good people? Answer, no. The idea that amateurs are expressing sentiments like, "That's what America is about, we take everyone." Okay, A, yes we do, the right way. B, after they've been vetted. And C, not in a time of crisis we don't. Got a little situation here the last 18 months with unparalleled crime, unemployment, rising healthcare costs, a depletion of resources available to handle a surge of undocumented, possibly sick, impoverished people. The same people who say, "Well, let them in," are the same people who don't have a problem working from home because they have a job or career that allows that. The same people who say, "Let them in," are the same people who don't see the big deal in having restaurants just switch to carry out only because they are not restaurant owners. The same people who don't have a problem switching to Amazon and Walmart and avoiding the small businessman because they don't own a small business. The same people who don't live in Texas, California, and Arizona. Amateur Nation. It's not a problem until it affects me. Guess what, amateurs? This problem does indeed affect every single American, regardless of age, sex, and politics. Just look at every illegal immigrant, especially the criminal element, as taking $100 out of your pocket. Hell, a dollar. Can you afford that? 15 million times? Daily? It's not who they are crossing the border. If this were Canadians, it literally would be the same problem. Tens of millions of people fleeing poverty, oppression, crime, or running towards a country to bring their problems with no way of tracking them, punishing them for wrongdoing, or knowing what their plan is a drain on any country. And if those poor immigrants think that after they get their free critical race theory book and a financial handout and a shack to squat in, that their lives will only get better, well, they're in for a rude awakening. Because we have already shelter and have had handouts. I don't think anyone's lives are better because of those two things. Maybe it kept you afloat, but better? I'm also well aware that these are definitely those, "You can't say that," type statements. But guess what? I'm right, and you know I'm right. And shame on you for ignoring this serious problem and pretending it's okay until one of those gangbangers opens fire in the streets and your kid takes a stray bullet. Here's another thing, if not the most important part of this topic. I don't like being right about this, but it's simply what will happen. They're not moving here because they have jobs lined up and careers that are well-respected. They're either struggling, suffering, sick, criminal, or running away from something worse. This is America collapsing, and shame on you if you won't admit that. So we get to go down with your ship that you voted for? No. But thank you for that, amateurs. Way to vote with your emotions and your feelings. Way to consider others, you know, how we're supposed to do with wearing masks and social distancing and getting that untested vaccine. But thank you for considering others in your choice to vote for an entire administration over and over again that ignores its law-abiding, tax-paying citizens who have put up with a catastrophe. Make no mistake, it has been a catastrophe these last 18 months, so you can feel morally superior. Sidebar, I love me a good sidebar. How's that progress going in Baltimore, Minneapolis, San Fran, LA, Detroit, New York, all those poor black, Latin, and other minorities noticing a better quality of life now that the new administration is in place? Now that BLM came to the rescue? Now that Antifa burned all your shit down? Oh, well, it's only been a little over 3 months, Lou. Hell, Obama was in there for 8 years. You think things are different now? You got used, amateurs. Every single one of you. You got used, exploited, and fooled. You were tricked. They'll use you to keep you weak and under the impression that it's everyone else's fault but yours that you're broke or oppressed or a victim. And then they'll cut you loose. Again, like they already did. Wake up to that. Go pro.
Topic number two.
You know, I notice a lot of people who I thought were smart and had common sense and understand that, yes, of course we need police, and defunding them and cutting back is never, ever a good idea, regardless of the times we live in. And I don't need my ego stroked, and that I need every post that I put on social media liked or favorited or commented upon and agreed with. But you are on one of two sides, for the police or against them. You don't get the luxury of saying, well, something needs to be done about training and they need less lethal weapons. No, shut up. The cops need grenade launchers, RPGs. Criminals only respond to firepower. And even then, a deranged, cold-blooded killer has nothing to lose. You're either for law and order, or you are not. You don't get to look all compassionate and play both sides of the fence, where you are secretly and quietly wanting police protection, but vocally and even quietly agree with people who want to abolish or defund the police so that you can look compassionate and maybe keep your job. Life doesn't work that way. Pick a fucking side and stick to it and on it. Just remember, if someone was trying to stab you, or breaking into your house, or your child went missing, or you got into a fender bender and needed assistance until the ambulance arrived, or someone falsely accused you of a crime, like I've been, or someone ran you off the road, or was assaulting you, or stole your identity, or even picked your pocket. So either respect the badge and the blue, or get out of my country. You can leave. You can leave. There's plenty of other countries with way less protection. You don't get the benefits of protection while offering no other real, logical, common sense solutions. The very fact that you're listening to this podcast and not getting assaulted shows that law and order is doing its job. Just the idea of cops coming to your rescue is what keeps most people safe. People who want to defund or abolish the police are criminals. Or wannabe criminals. Only a wannabe or current criminal would want no cops. What exactly are you planning? Now go fuck off! Any person with a brain knows that the majority of police are good people and willing to die for someone they don't even know. The majority of doctors, I would like to think, are good people and want to help people, but there are some bad apples. The majority of waiters are good people who enjoy serving others. But there are some bad waiters. Get your head out of your ass. Respect the people that make your daily life doable. My Instagram is @LouSantini3 and on Facebook at facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment. I'll be back in 60 seconds. There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention. Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone. A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly. Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read
the amateur mission statement,
the 30 truths about amateurs, the 4 stages of being an amateur, amateur habitats and history, social media plus me equals amateur,
technology and amateur behavior,
with dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3.
Okay, I'm saving the best topic for last. Remember how I said a few episodes ago? Do you know how many lives cops save each day and year? Also adding, do you know how many motherfuckers deserve to get shot but don't? Well, I'm not saying this woman deserves to be shot. Of course not. But tell me she's not a first-class amateur and an embarrassment to humans. And at the very least, deserves a major beatdown. By now, many of you have seen the video of the woman, and I use that term loosely because she's acting like a child that she has in the car when pulled over for a routine traffic stop. And if you haven't seen the video, let me set the stage for you. A police officer somewhere in Los Angeles had pulled over a woman driving a Mercedes. The make of the car is relevant, as you'll hear, because she makes it relevant. The officer is Latin, and that's not relevant, but she makes it relevant. And he is nothing but pro. Way more patient and polite than I would be. It's a routine traffic stop. He has pulled her over for texting and or talking on her phone while driving, which is amateur 101. It's in the book. Now, I've tweaked the audio as best as I can. You've seen the video, but it needs to be heard again. You should have no problem hearing this. The first couple seconds are a little tough to hear, but I promise the rest is very easily heard. So, set your lips and jaw to tense.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Good morning.
And the speed limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you
can't
you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his...
Do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please?
I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
Okay.
And so you're giving me a cell phone ticket? Is that why you're harassing me?
Not harassment. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to and record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
Didn't texting or none of that.
You had a picture?
Scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me?
Sure.
Too? Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well, here you go,
stop
murderer.
Shaking. Zoom in on that for
no,
me.
No, because you're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
I'll
tell you what, you keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me.
I didn't say that.
You're the one who's crying.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. And you're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
All you need to assist is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
Here you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gas.
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
White.
Have a good day.
You want to be white.
Okay. Show of hands. How many of you heard that and instantly said, what a twat? Okay, let's break this amateur down. You ready? Number one, right out of the gate, she tells the officer, the speed limit is 40 and I'm going 38, so why are you harassing me? It's at this point the lawyers who are listening are saying, when it comes to a traffic stop, always say nothing except when asked a question. As someone who has fought speeding tickets in court and won 3 out of 3, me, that's sage advice. Be polite, answer questions, but don't offer extra information. When a cop rolls up on you for a routine traffic stop, hands on the steering wheel, windows down, dome light on before the officer walks up. Let him or her feel like you're not a threat. This amateur, now if you saw the video, which has her face blurred out, is all confrontation, no brain. Number two, the officer begins to explain why he pulled her over, and she not only interrupts, but tells him, because you're a murderer. Do I have to comment further on that? Number three, We've all left the house without our phones, without our money, and okay, if your ID is in your wallet like mine is, if you leave your wallet, you're left without your ID. I'm sure I have left the house without it, but never when I've been pulled over, so I've been lucky in that respect. We're human. It happens. I'm sure cops do it, too. I'm sure cops see it every day. But in this particular case, she has her son in the car. Aren't parents supposed to be extra careful about stuff like that? You're in the car with your son. You don't have your ID with you. Suppose she got in a wreck or her son was injured. How does she prove identification or that this kid is even hers? Number four, about that. She does have a son. Someone looked at this amateur, this ugly on the inside person, and said, yeah, I want to be inside that. Let's roll the dice and make one just like her. Number five, let's backtrack. Someone this childish, rude, insulting, disrespectful, hurtful, racist, entitled, and condescending landed a husband and a date. Yet I'm single. Number six, who carries around a picture of their driver's license but not the actual license? Is that even legal? I'm asking. Maybe it is state by state. Don't most places look for that reflective seal or that hologram or special markings to show that it's a legit ID? Oh, that's right. IDs don't mean shit anymore. Just ask a voter or an illegal immigrant. Number seven.
And can you call your supervisor?
Now, this took place in Los Angeles, California, and having lived there for 24 years, I can assure you, the police are busy enough without pulling the supervisor over to handle, let's call her what she is, a bitch. She's a bitch. Act like a bitch, get called a bitch. If it was a guy acting like this, I'd call him a dick. Get over it, amateurs. So we're tying up two cops for this amateur? With all the other crap going on, California has encampment fires burning every second. 400,000 homeless, tons of crime, and we got two cops handling this twat. All right. Number eight. Not that I'd ever tell a cop how to do his or her job, but why not make her get out of the car and search the car? Take up her time. She's acting pretty nervous for someone pulled over for a routine texting and driving violation. All right, so some people get nervous when confronted with police. I get it. But come on, this nitwit is next level. This is someone who cracks under the most mild pressure. Search her trunk. Number nine.
You scared me and made me think you're going to murder me.
Wow. Do you know how hard it would have been for me to get all action hero and crank out some kind of diehard reply and say, well, guess what? And then you hear click, click. That could be the dumbest sentence ever uttered. You scared me and made you think you were going to murder me. Yeah, especially when it's said like that. She really seemed terrified. But this is Amateur Nation. If I said it, it must be true. Especially if it involves my feelings. And that leads me to number 10, and this is where I'm hiding my semi-chub right now, because she says, well, that's not just a feeling, because you're a murderer. There it is. These are my feelings. My feelings are always right. That's mean. Classless. Careless. Lady, you have to live with yourself. You have no soul, no moral compass. You have a kid, and he's in the car, and it's being recorded forever now. This is how you talk to cops, to people, in front of your kid? Someone call child services now. Unfit mother. I bet there's a poor mother who doesn't drive a Mercedes who would love to have a good boy for a son who may not have the money but will give him love, attention, affection, good morals and values, and lead by example. Shame on this woman. I can't stress that enough. Does she know how ridiculous she is? Of course she doesn't, because amateurs have no self-awareness. Number 11,
I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher, so there.
So there? Oh, well spoken, teach. That's right up there with, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And she's legal how? You mean as in a U.S. citizen? I might make a trade for one of those illegals who was vetted to be clear of a criminal record in exchange for this idiot. Number 12, oh, and she's a teacher. I would pray that anyone who is a kid that is taught by this teacher would immediately demand she be fired and canceled and removed from a position of teaching. She truly deserves that. Number 13.
So there!
Well, I guess you told him. Number 14.
You're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son.
What was the plan here? Did you think by baiting the cop, goading him on, teasing him, taunting him with the talk of being a murderer, that he'd say or do something that could get him fired? What if, and it's a massive capital IF, he did have enough of this broad and empty his gun in her face? Was it worth it, Big Mouth? That, of course, would never happen, but clearly this amateur has no regard to any kind of authority or anything that disrupts her little me world, so she's gonna pull that shit with the wrong person, and they're gonna pull her card one day. And her son will be motherless. Although, that might be better. Number 15. You're trying to threaten to kill me. She said, you're trying to threaten? Who taught this teacher to speak? Someone here wants to die. Someone might oblige her someday. Number 16. When the officer asks if it's her car, she replies, yes, it is. And you're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous. This is why I mentioned she has a new Mercedes, which you can lease, by the way, for about $400 a month. What a baller. This woman has crossed over from amateur to clearly mentally disturbed and unbalanced. I don't need to be a psychiatrist or psychologist to figure that out. She's mentally unbalanced. As a cop, I would have impounded her vehicle and told her that I found her unstable to operate a motor vehicle at this time and see that she undergoes psychiatric treatment. She wants to waste cops' time? Well, time for her to jump through some hoops and get that attitude dialed down. Number 17. When the supervisor arrives and explains why she was being pulled over using the phone while driving, she doubles down and calls the original cop a Mexican racist twice and then says, you'll always be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be. Comedy gods, where were you? His reply, perfectly timed, should have been, yes, ma'am, but you'll always be a twat. Number 18. In the 2 minutes and 20 seconds that clip runs, she mentions harassment 4 times, references the cop as a murderer or references that he has threatened to kill me 8 times, calls the cop jealous 2 times and racist 4 times, while clearly spouting off racist sentiments. Number 19. Can you imagine how she took it out on her students when she got to work? Never mind, this is Los Angeles. Teachers don't go to work anymore, but they do drive Mercedes. And number 20. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a 5-star amateur. Stupid? Check. Obnoxious? Duh. Rude? Next level. Entitled? You heard the recording. Inconsiderate? Boom. The intro to the show was made for amateurs like her. Nod in agreement. Yes! After every adjective. Here we go. Here's the intro to the show. You nod in agreement and tell me that this woman, during that routine traffic stop, didn't embody these qualities. The people who are doing life wrong. The speed bumps of life. The people that are in your way every day. The unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen, victim types, who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. And now, 2 real-life police officers' takes on this situation. I have 2 friends that are police officers. I promised anonymity. And I also promise not to even mention the city or states where they are police officers. I'm asking you, the listener, to trust me when I tell you these police officers are the good guys. I know of a few acts of heroism that one of these police officers has done. But knowing him, I would not mention those acts here. He's simply humble about it. I also know that just some of the broad strokes of some of the horrors that one of these police officers has had to see and handle in his illustrious career. I asked him simply to watch the video and give his opinion. Both these officers, I asked that. I said, just watch the video. That's everywhere on social media. And please, give your opinions. And I also asked these simple questions. How do you deal with these kinds of stops? And is this kind of stop common? Here are the unedited replies. Officer number 1. Okay, so I watched the video. This lady is absolutely ridiculous. She's like the extreme byproduct of the narrative that the extreme left is pushing about the American police officer. The extreme left is about not having to be accountable in any aspect. They don't want to work. They want the government to take care of them. They don't want any consequences for anything they do, and they have the fundamental misunderstanding that anyone cares what they think outside of a virtual online forum. In real life, this thinking actually gets you nowhere, as is evidenced by the extreme amount of backlash this woman is going to get over this video. She's literally too stupid to quantify in terms of the gibberish she's spewing. She's a 4-year-old having a temper tantrum. She couldn't get her way by being rude, so she resorted to name-calling, but in doing so, she exposed herself as being nothing more than an unintelligent, racist woman who's absolutely going to lose if she tries to fight the ticket because she admitted to the elements of the vehicle code violation during the stop. He goes on to say, "How do I deal with these stops? I would have shut her down on an intellectual level very quickly. I don't work for the Mommy May I Police Department, so I would have lit her up like a Christmas tree. I also would have cited her for not having her driver's license in her possession, which is an additional fine." He says, "This type of stop is rare. At the end of the day, the officer's pen is mightier than the sword. The citation will cost her around $400. Judging by her stated occupation, that's going to hurt her pocketbook a bit. She's also going to have a hard time getting hired anywhere and will probably lose her job once her identity is revealed." One police officer's take. And by the way, to be clear, when he says lit her up like a Christmas tree, he doesn't mean beat on her. He means, you know, give her the lights, the sirens, make a spectacle of her. She wants to act like a spectacle, be a spectacle. Now, another friend of mine, also a police officer, who again shall remain nameless for privacy and professional reasons, and I had to omit the first couple lines of his comments so as not to give away his identity, stated this, unedited. "You and I," meaning he and me, Lou Santini, "both have many similarities when it comes to morals, ethics, and a general desire for the betterment to everyone in our community. My beliefs and moral compass have never skewed off course that I'm aware of. But how I handle my life, along with the people I deal with in my line of work on a regular basis, changes. Society is not the same now as it was 10 years ago. Things have a tendency to change fast when people don't hold themselves accountable for their actions or statements." Notice two police officers who do not know each other both mentioned accountability. You paying attention, LeBron? "Especially if they have been placed on a platform and have been emboldened by false narratives. Also, a common sentiment between both police officers who do not know each other." He says, "This is why they can spew their inner heartfelt hatred toward others, often right to their faces. We are all learning and growing, some faster than others. I'm saying all of this to lay the groundwork for why I am the type of police officer I have become today. And when I say become, it's because the more time you spend in this line of work, the more you evolve. Whether it be training or experience, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago when I started this career." He goes on to say, "That being said," breath, The LA County deputy in California that maintained his composure while dealing with a passive-aggressive individual is one of my heroes. I must say this job has its challenges on a daily basis. I live and work in a community encompassing 35 square miles with a population of around 15,000 with less than a 25% influx during the day. It's rural residential. It's a majority causation. This does not mean I don't come across people who have taken the blue pill, Matrix reference. The race or ethnicity of an individual has nothing to do with how they treat cops. Media-fed, crazed individuals are more present in our communities than ever before, and they come in every color and shape you can imagine. The past few years have made me struggle to have faith in humanity at times. I find myself praying for people all the time, regardless of how rude, insensitive, and angry they get towards me. It has become more and more personal towards me as an individual than towards the uniform. Yet I treat everyone I come across on the job with kindness and respect, even if I have to charge them, take them into custody, fight them, or simply encounter them. If you ask me how I handle people of this nature, meaning the woman in the video, I will tell you I have a couple of different approaches. One is humorous, sarcasm, and another is sarcasm with some humor added in. Mostly it's our resolve as police officers to uphold the law in an, as a matter of fact, kind of way. Thick skin goes a long way too, and having faith in the system makes me smile. Protocol and procedure, accompanied by a lawful detention or arrest, has a funny way of putting goofy looks on people's faces. And I enjoy my work immensely, and I see way more good people than bad, regardless of what you may hear in the news. This is the most rewarding job I have ever had in my 53 years on this earth. Always hold tight to family and treat people the way you would want to be treated. And he says, love you, brother. Stay safe, and we'll be talking. I don't need to add to that. It's his world, his comments, his take. Time now for Off Topic. Let's poke around here a bit. Is it me, or does nominee for worst governor of all time, mass murderer of the elderly, Andrew Cuomo of New York, look like WWE CEO Vince McMahon? Did you know, in Amateur Nation, the two leading causes of death are COVID and gunshot by white cops, both of which are caused by racism. There you go, amateurs. Feel nice and tucked in your safe space now, you weak pussies? Here's a headline that doesn't even need an exploration. California releasing 63,000 violent felons back into the streets in an effort to create safer prisons. Brussels sprouts are what I imagine an Ewok tastes like. How can anyone possibly give a flying fuck about anything that is going on in the personal lives of the Hollywood elite? For real, after everything we've been through, regardless of who you vote for or what your ideology is, how could you possibly give a shit about the personal lives of the Hollywood elite? Ignore them! Stop watching their TV shows and their movies. I'm not saying stop watching all TV and movies. I'm talking about stop watching TV shows and movies that are starring the Hollywood elite that somehow feel that their personal lives, their opinions, and their social and political policies matter more than yours. They're out of touch with the regular people. They don't care about you. They're out of touch with the common man. They don't deserve your attention or your dollars. Abandon them. You don't need them. There's lots of Hollywood and TV shows that star actors who don't shove their opinions down your throat and just do their jobs, and that's to entertain and nothing else. Suck on this, Hollywood. 58% drop in ratings for that shit show you called the Oscars. I just finished up watching all the episodes of that History Channel series that I talked about on 3 Pro Things, The Food That Built America. And the Cola Wars episode got me thinking. Considering Coca-Cola really screwed the pooch with their Be Less White sentiment that was leaked, alienating their base while kowtowing to the idiotic woke pressure, of which America is tired, you would think Pepsi would jump on that right away. I'm writing your slogan, I want to check. Pepsi, be who you are. Right? Can you just picture that commercial, a montage of all races, ages, blue and white collar, police and citizens, and that beautiful American flag? That could be the one company that unites America rather than dividing it. They should seize that moment because it's not coming again. Time now for 3 pro things. 3 things that are done right. Number 1. Come on, get happy hour with Stevie D. It's a video podcast on YouTube. You might remember me talking about him and mentioning his name 2 episodes ago and his book on 3 Pro Things called The Trans Am Diaries, A Hillbilly's Road Trip from Stand-Up Comedy to Cancer and Back Again. It's a fun and loose interview show with new episodes on Wednesdays. It's seen on Facebook and YouTube. And comedian and author Stevie D interviews comedians, and they talk all things comedy, rock, and everything in between. I was recently on last week's episode talking about the best radio interview I ever did, and comedy, of course. Easily, we could have gone for hours because we're both fans of hard rock and metal and comedy, but check it out. As Stevie D says, grab a flask and don't forget to drink up on this week's drinking word. It's called Come On Get Happy Hour with Stevie D. It's on YouTube and Facebook. Check it out. Number 2. As you may or may not know, I abandoned the NFL over 4 years ago. And considering the anti-American sentiment, the whining, the cries of oppression, not standing up for the national anthem, I still stand by my decision to abandon the NFL and the other big three until they right the ship. But I am nothing if not objective. And as I've said, of course, there are some players in all of pro sports who are of good character and show appreciation. Here's your headline from CBSN Pittsburgh. New Steelers running back Najee Harris hosts pizza party at homeless shelter ahead of NFL draft. Here's the story. Everyone loves a good comeback story, and new Pittsburgh Steelers running back Najee Harris has a great one. Not long before he was taken as the first-round draft pick by the Steelers, Harris returned to the homeless shelter where he and his family once lived. He said, I wanted to make sure that I could give back to the community and show them, if y'all still need anything, like I'm never too big or too whatever to help you guys out, I'm always going to be the helping hand. I wanted to make sure that happened, so I had a party over there, passing out food and pizza. I feel like they didn't think that was serious enough, which they did, but in my mindset, I didn't think so. So I said, I'm going to pull up and actually show them that I'm really here if you guys need anything. I know I'm getting drafted today, but if you guys need anything, I'm literally right here. He did this the day he got drafted. The article goes on to say, Harris stopped by the Greater Richmond Interfaith Program, also known as GRIP, where a draft party was underway in his honor. Harris didn't just stop by, he also provided food for the party. Kathleen Sullivan, executive director at GRIP, said his mother was instrumental in getting him and all those children through what would have been the most horrific experience of their lives. I've been knowing him since he was a little boy. It couldn't have happened to a better kid. He's a warm, loving person, said Marvelous Lucas. It gives me a lot of inspiration, said Juan Combros. Harris is also forming a nonprofit and hopes to keep giving back to his community, including the shelter in Richmond, where he spent part of his childhood. In other news, Colin Kaepernick still whines. No one talks about his football skills and still is endorsed by slave-owning China-run Nike, all while being oppressed. Number 3. From NewsChannel8.com, Manatee County caseworker adopts 19-year-old who aged out of foster care. A heartwarming story out of Bradenton is redefining what it means to be a family. A caseworker who grew up in Saratoga Springs, New York, is a new mom to a 19-year-old who spent much of her childhood and all of her teenage years in foster care. After the judge declared the adoption final, Leah Pescalides and Manye Pescalides shared a hug for the first time as mother and daughter. Everything is official. The one thing that I wanted since I was a kid has finally come true, said Manye. I made her a promise that I would find her an adoptive family. I just didn't know that I would be the adoptive family, said Leah, Manye's former caseworker and now new mom. The pair met when Manye was just 13 years old and they formed a close bond. But because of her job, Leah wasn't able to adopt Manye until she aged out of the foster care system. Well, that day has come. Now both mother and daughter are encouraging others to consider adopting older kids and teens. I just wish that people that are open to adoption don't look at an age in a picture and are just open to getting to know them as a person, said Leah. Most people believe that we're in here because we got into some kind of trouble, but really, it's just the circumstance, and no, we don't want to be in here either, said Manye. In fact, Manye excelled in school, graduating early and receiving recognition for her volunteer work. Just knowing that when I turned 18, I was going to be by myself, that's really what drove me to push myself to graduate early, despite everything. Not by herself any longer, she's ready to embrace what's to come and continues helping those who have yet to find their families. Leah says part of the motivation for making it official are the legal rights that come along with parent-child relationships, including when it comes to medical issues. The pair will be celebrating their first Mother's Day together, well, by the time I read this article, a couple weeks ago. Now, I should mention here that Manye is black, so here we have a minority teen girl with, at the time, no family. She excelled in school, graduated early, and was recognized for her volunteer work. No mention of oppression, just gratitude, self-reliance, work ethic, character. And that good character, heart, and work ethic led her to a new mom. This girl will have a good life. If she can power through her teen years in foster care, she certainly can make it with a solid support system and a new mom who wanted her. This girl is 100% pro. All right, great episode. If you have a topic, or if you read or saw something, or something happened to you that was amateur related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com, and download my book from Amazon. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 16 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
next week.